Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rates, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
All right, folks, welcome to MMA Madhouse Live, Cubicle to the Cage recap show. This week we're recapping episode 6. Like always, folks, RadX TV every Thursday night, MMAMadhouse.com, and Top News MMA for the weekly blog by Boyd. And like always, the greatest shout-out to Draco Impact Armor and Jax Media for sponsoring this weekly show. You guys go check them out. Draco has been giving away some killer gear. Big shout-out to Lehigh Dominguez, who won this week. All you got to do is tweet during the show, and you can win free gear from Draco. Also, big shout-out to Jax Media. Always good folks. We love them guys. Lapaki, you ready to break down episode 6 with Boyd tonight?
I think the question is Boyd ready to break down episode 6 with us?
Hashtag Boyd is the new Walter, folks. Don't forget, when you're tweeting about the fan.
Hashtag and then the word, I'm just going to kick you in the groin. Illegal groin strike from the back.
Oh, man. Dude, that's like a...
Like elbow, like wrap the elbow, everything, bro.
That's just like when people are like, sir, my web address is www. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah. As you make fun of the sponsor of the show, because they go triple W.
Not them. I'm talking about regular people, not cool people.
Oh, regular people. Oh, civilians?
No, like the retards from overseas. You know what I'm talking about, the ones who always want to buy our company.
Yeah, the guy that always wants to sell me something, and then I ask him, well, just sell me your business, and he goes, no, I want to sell you gear. And I'm like, no, sell me your business. No, I want to sell you gear. Sell me your business. I want to own the business.
Hey, the other day, you know, I was going back and forth with the gentleman. You know, I'm like, no, dude, I've got a sponsor. They provide us. He's like, let me check out their gear. And I was like, here's Draco Impact Armor. He's like, they have okay gear, but I can make better. And I was like, no, you can't. Don't lie to me, dude. He's wanting, like, ridiculous orders. He's like, you put down an $8,000 order, I can beat them. I'm like, yeah, dude, I give them $8,000, they're going to beat you into the ground. Not
dude,
like that.
I like the guy, like, 2 weeks ago, I had a guy, and I kept going, I go, send me some samples. No. We don't do samples. I was like, well, how am I supposed to buy something? I've never even seen it. We don't do samples. I was like, dude, if you want me to buy your gear, I need to see how it works. I was like, I got some people I'll let try it out. No. Do you want to make an order? I'm like, are you going to give me samples?
Okay, I like your thinking. Let's see if we can get some sample shirts of the new Cubicle to the Cage shirt from Draco. And speaking of Cubicle to the Cage, let's get the man himself online. By the way, folks, you guys can go to Draco Impact Armor, Cubicle to the Cage, Facebook, anywhere. You guys can support his shirts. They're great.
Okay. I love how the fans get to interact even with the phone call to Boyd. They're like, yeah,
hello,
we're
hello.
On the phone with Boyd.
Hey, Boyd, how are you doing tonight, brother?
I am great. I made the mistake of listening to the opening of the show, so now I don't think I'm going to be able to stop laughing enough to talk to you guys. I take away from that, Lapaki loves samples, and I need to learn this illegal groin strike from behind technique.
Boyd, I know you're on the road right now, so we really appreciate you joining us this week, like always. Episode 6, folks, it was a good one. Let's start with the party. I'm curious, going up there to the dude ranch. You know, I'm reading your blog. I know you guys really got to kind of cut loose and have fun. For all the fans out there, how great of an experience was that for you guys as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. We really thought that Peter was going to kill us that day. After everything that had gone down with Mortez's fight and the rough showing that the Titans had had, we thought, okay, he's going to double down on the pressure now, and he's just going to destroy us. And then he told us to show up at that big bloody hill. So we were mentally prepared to just work our asses off. And then he had this odd little smirk on his face when he shows up, and he's got a gigantic stretch party bus limousine for us, and as soon as we get on board, he starts breaking out the booze. And, yeah, I tell you, man, we really cut loose. I'd never been in a pressure cooker like we'd been in for several months before, so I hadn't realized kind of how crazy you want to go when you've been under pressure like that. So, yeah, we had some fun. We had some fun.
Was that 100% Peter?
Yeah, yeah, Peter, he hooked that up, and I guess he worked with the production team as well, because they were obviously tipped off. They knew what was happening. But the rest of us were completely in the dark. I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of us were in fight gear. We were ready to start training.
So, you know, I find that interesting that Peter did this on his own. That you guys, obviously, he looked at you guys as a whole after you know, Mortez's loss, and said, look, we need to regroup, we need to refocus, blow some steam off. That night, being able to spend time with Mortez, how was he with you guys?
Yeah, he was really standoffish. I could tell he really didn't want to be there. I don't think he wanted to be around anybody from the gym. He still hadn't been back to the gym at that point. I think Peter really leaned on him and told him he really wanted him and needed him to be there, because I think he was still really embarrassed by how things went down, and he knew that he'd let down his teammates, and not just by losing, but in his behavior sort of leading up to the loss. So, he really wasn't looking to socialize that night. But, I mean, we did get him out of his shell a little bit, and it was great to have an opportunity to sit and talk with him and to see that he was willing to admit what he'd done wrong, and that he was owning up to it, and he wasn't making excuses. It was awesome to see that. I mean, he really was going to grow as a result of the loss.
Now, you know,
how much time had elapsed between his fight and when you guys went on the trip onto the park?
Like two days.
Okay.
Yeah, so just like a couple of days.
It was still real fresh to all you guys, including Mortez.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I think there was another reason why Peter had that party. I think Peter had come to the realization that he was going to have to do something now to force people out of the program. He was going to have to narrow the field so he could concentrate on a couple of folks or a few people. And we hadn't done anything fun to this point, and he wanted everybody to kind of have that team atmosphere and that kind of family feeling before people left. And I think he was at a point where he knew he was going to have to either cut people or tell people, hey, listen, this is not for you. Maybe you should consider removing yourself. Or he was going to literally beat them out of the program. So I think that was Peter's other motivation for having that party.
Do you also think that maybe part of it, for me, I thought that maybe it was because he wanted you guys to experience what a fighter gets to do at the conclusion of a hard 8-12-week fight camp. That, you know, those first couple of days afterwards, they kind of do get to let loose. And so he wanted you guys to be able to see that full cycle of how that operates.
Yeah, absolutely. He did talk about that, Lepaki. He said he encouraged us all, obviously, to come to the after party, and we got to go to the VIP room where the fighters were all hanging out, and to kind of get that piece of it. And then also, when we did start back up training, we didn't dive immediately into really hard training. He made sure we understood that this is the point where you start focusing on technique. This is when you're not in a fight camp and you're able to kind of slow things down and really focus on doing things right and improving and learning some new things, not just kind of all cardio and hard sparring and things. So yeah, you're right. He did want us to know that there's ebbs and flows and there's mountains and valleys in your training, and you have to kind of have that or you'll just grind yourself down and wear out.
Yeah, I mean, because the fight life is very cyclic. You know, I mean, as you probably found out, you get into your habits, and that's what you just do every time. You know, there may be changes to it, but certain aspects of that will never change for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Peter, he did do that with us, but also he kind of always had that monkey on his back where there was no time. And times that we would normally be down, I'm sure we were down, but they weren't for long, and they were far apart.
Now, you guys go up, you guys have this great celebration, you guys get to hang out and let loose. You get back to training, and things step up, and I mean, they step up in a fast way. Were you personally ready for that step?
No, I don't think anybody was ready for that step. Can you remind me exactly what you're referring to?
The stepping up of the training.
With the running the hills?
That, yeah, definitely that, especially, but just the whole camp itself really pushing up, everything getting, you know, getting obviously more aggressive with you guys, and even more frustrated with some of the cubes who aren't really paying attention. I mean, everything seems to escalate once you guys get back.
Yeah, I tell you, man, that was a rough period because it was the heat of summer, and Peter had just gone through a very frustrating card where his pro fighters hadn't done too well. He had a lot of people in the program who were taking more and more time off because it was summer and they wanted to be at the beach or wanted to be spending time with family or going on vacations. And, he was becoming increasingly frustrated with how little he was able to really do with us, and that we weren't learning like the pros because we weren't like the pros. I mean, he has fighters there. He shows them something 1 week, and a week later they're doing it in a pro MMA fight. And here we are, we can't even do it when we're given an opportunity to drill it 25 times, and then he says, okay, show me that, and we get it wrong. So, yeah, Peter was getting extremely frustrated, and, I mean, you'd like to think that a coach is not going to take that out on you. He's going to have a little more clinical approach, but, I mean, I'm sure that's one of the reasons why he did push us so hard. He needed us to step up, and he needed for the people who needed to go away to go away. I know there was one day that he made us run that Breakheart Hill. I think we did it three times or four times. So it's about a mile round trip, basically sprinting as fast as you can up this extremely steep hill. And when we walked into the gym, I could tell something was weird. He had all the windows closed and he had the heat cranked up as high as it would go. And he immediately put us in our sparring gear and made us do just round after round after round of sparring. I mean, it was beyond brutal.
But that's at that point, he's trying to break a few of you cubes, including yourself, to say, okay, if we're going to take this serious, I got to start, you know, kind of seeing who's really going to make the serious cut. And he's looking at you, he's looking at Nikki, he's looking at everybody, you know, and he's pushing you guys. Now, as a whole, the cubes, during this time that he's really starting to push harder, be more aggressive, did you see a lot of people mentally breaking?
Yeah, I mean, I saw cubes who were getting as frustrated as Peter was. I mean, some people learn in different styles, and some people like to be rewarded for their little victories. And Peter's not big on doing that. He's not going to be giving you a lot of pats on the back and, oh, you're awesome. If he's not saying anything to you, it probably means you're doing something right. But if you're doing something wrong, you're going to hear about it. that's just his style. He's very much a "what have you done for me lately" kind of instructor. He just wants you to push yourself as hard as he's pushing you. So he doesn't want you standing back looking at your handiwork. Is like, if you learn something, well, good. That's why you're here. You're supposed to learn something. No big deal. Move on. So yeah, some of the cues were getting very frustrated with the fact that Peter was being so hard on us. And I mean, he was cranky a lot of the time. I mean, perhaps justifiably so. He was trying to do something that was damn near impossible to do, and take a group of couch potatoes and try to make a fighter out of a few of them.
Now, this time, you know, you guys are running the hill. You guys go back to the gym. You know, obviously, there's a few cubes that are breaking. Did you see them the team starting to maybe group up into those who aren't breaking versus those who are breaking?
I don't know. Maybe I'm the wrong person to ask that question. Because I was there from before the beginning, and because I really had a stake in seeing everybody do well, like I wanted for the people who were on that journey to get as much out of their individual journey as they could. So I certainly spread myself around, and I tried to connect with all the members of the cubicle team because I started it, I felt like I owed that to them. And quite frankly, they were just awesome, awesome people. So maybe other people are better to ask that question too, because I certainly tried to connect with and encourage absolutely everybody that I associated with.
Fair, very fair. Yeah, I find this show, and so do everybody, just every episode is so thrilling, and the anticipation for the following episode is killing people. I mean, you know, like this episode, obviously, it was kind of more relaxed to start. You know, we got to see you guys with your hair down, basically, but seeing Peter become more aggressive and knowing that, you know, cuts are coming, and seeing him push you guys, I'm kind of happy to see the reaction. I'm glad that, you know, we're not seeing everybody just smiling happy and, you know, or everybody just, you know, giving up. We're seeing a great variety of feelings throughout all the different cubes. I still think that there's a couple of guys and gals in there that I think are going to make the cut personally with where they are this far in. What are we, month 5 of training?
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, and we'll be talking with one of the ladies I feel has a chance to really go, and that's Nikki. We'll be getting her on here in a few minutes.
Boyd, are there any stories that didn't make the episode from the party that you can tell us about?
one of my favorite moments from that night was Nikki and Jeanette D'Entremont. I believe it was, maybe it was Ashley. And they're at the bar after we got back from the farm, and they're sitting there and they're having this conversation, and I lean in and I pick up after a while that they're basically saying, "Oh, I love you. You're so great. Oh no, I love you. You're so great. Oh no, you're great." And I was just cracking my sides laughing because they were two girls who were extremely tough. And they were picking up the skills, and then when they'd spar, they would just go at each other so hard. And then to see them having this kind of lovey-dovey moment was just completely out of character. It was hilarious. And there's a guy who you see in the show a lot, but he's not really focused on. His name is Robin Smith. In the original tryouts, we named him McLovin because he looked like so much like the McLovin character from Superbad. And he has this habit. Anytime an ounce of alcohol came out for the entire year, that dude was shirtless in 5 seconds. It was hilarious. And he was going around half the night at the farm with his pants around his ankles, too. He was wearing UFC champion belt underwear. So, yeah, that was that was fun. That was fun.
See, and these are the things that you guys really probably needed at that point in where you were at, just to break the knot.
Yeah, I mean, there was all kinds of crazy stuff like that going on because, I mean, like I said, we were in a pressure cooker. We had to blow off steam somehow. So we generally we did it by just making fun of each other in the gym, because that's something about gym culture and fight culture that I'd never realized existed. But oh my God, those guys attack each other verbally, in a joking way. It's and I think that it's, I think it probably serves two purposes. I don't know if I'm overanalyzing or not, but I think number one is it's a great distraction from the grind, from the work that you have to do. But I think also it it constantly toughens you up and puts you on the defensive, like you're always mentally alert because somebody's going to cut you up verbally. So yeah, it was, that was interesting
and
as well.
Also, when you're the guy that's not getting verbally assaulted, that means you're probably not in the loop too.
Absolutely. Yeah, like, totally.
If you're not in that group where you're one of the guys that's getting made fun of, then you're not in the group.
Yeah, you remember the conversation we had with Mike Kent? That was kind of an eye-opener for me because he was giving me such a hard time early in the program. And then one night at fights, I think maybe he fought that night, he came by and he said something just absolutely horribly rude and inappropriate to me when I was standing with a group of friends. And then he kind of sort of gave one of my friends a punch in the arm and winked at him and walked away. And I was like, you know what? I think this guy is giving me a hard time because he knows I can take it, and he wouldn't be putting in the effort if he thought I was just a victim.
Well, guys,
yeah,
speaking
no,
of... Hey, Lepaki, let me jump in real quick. Speaking of effort...
Oh, sure.
We've got
you just jump in. You know, boy, me, you're talking. Just jump on in, bud. Just go ahead. Take over.
You got it. I'm bringing on somebody who's put a lot of effort in her life, not only in the show, but in her personal life. This lady has an amazing story, and from what I hear, she is one tough, tough lady. Nikki Claru, how are you doing tonight? Welcome to Madhouse Live.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Wonderful.
Good.
Wait, listen, you're not allowed to tell those stories, hey?
Yeah,
listen,
it's just us
you're
talking.
You're going to get punched in the face for that next time.
I'm sure I will. It wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, or the last probably, hey?
That's right.
Now, Nikki, we've got a lot of fans throughout the whole world who love this show every week, and they love the recap show, and this is kind of their shot to kind of meet some of the cubes every week. For everyone around the world listening tonight, you want to tell them a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm 29 years old. I work at the emergency room at the QE2 here in Halifax. I'm part of the Rapid Assessment Unit as a nurse. I have a lovely husband who has four stepchildren. I have four stepchildren. And I've played rugby for 10 years with the Halifax Tars, awesome club. And I joined Cubicle to the Cage.
Now, I'm curious, what made you go out for Cubicle to the Cage?
That's actually a fairly fairly funny story. My husband and Phil Rogers, they're the Gravedigger. He was in episode one. They went to the man tryout, and Phil's wife, and she came and was like, you know what, I really want to go because she's really into UFC. You know, we watch it all the time together. And she's like, I really want to go, but I don't have anybody to go with. You'll go with me. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll go for the workout. Not having any inkling to go, you know, and actually do it seriously, I guess. And then we went to the tryout, and she was like, after the first 5 minutes, she's like, I am done with that. I have no interest in doing that. I do not want to puke. I'm good. So then, and lo and behold, I got selected. And so she's basically my, besides from my husband, she's basically my number one fan.
Well, you've got a lot of fans throughout the world, trust me. Watching the show, all the cubes probably have a lot more fans than they realize. We're only up to episode 5, so that's all we can really talk about. But up to this point, what's been the toughest aspect of this MMA training for you?
So many. I think for me, it may have been, you know, Boyd and everybody, and you know, the little bit with the, you know, leaving families and having to separate and spend so much time away, you know, with your other family, I guess you'd like to call it. But like a hard part for me was, you know, to do the show, I gave up rugby. I quit playing rugby for the season because I wanted to commit to it. And, you know, that, you know, you're losing a big family. They may not live with you every day, but, you know, I moved up here from New Miramichi, New Brunswick, and the rugby community is my family. So, you know, not playing rugby, I joined one circle and I kind of backed away from another. So that part was that.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but what was it at the tryout that maybe hooked you to where you were willing to walk away from rugby?
I needed, as great as family is, I needed a break from the family as well. There's, you know, with any team sport, there's a lot of politics and stuff like that, and where I was getting to be a more senior player on the team, and my husband had coached the women team that I played for 3 years, so I needed a change. And then this opportunity came up, and I like the challenge. I don't mind getting hit in the face so far, so, you know, fairly addicting. And when you put the work in and, you know you're there toughing it out with all these other people that are striving for the same goal, like, I think, you know, it's a whole, I think you have to be a little bit different to do it anyway. So the fact
there's
that you can find other people that are still a little bit odd.
there's an awesome story that didn't make it into the show. Peter set us up one day. He took the bouncers and the doormen who work in a bunch of the bars downtown, and they have to do, of course, grappling training so that they know how to handle people without getting people hurt and whatnot. So he brought them out one day, and he said, okay, Cubes, you've been training now for a few months. We're going to get you to fight the doormen. So these guys were, for the most part, pretty big, strong, burly guys, used to throwing bodies around. And he made us fight them in grappling matches. And it was an eye-opening experience. Nikki, I don't know if you had the same reaction, but I thought that the guy that I was paired up with, he was like about 220 pounds and over 6 feet tall. I thought he was going to rip my arms off and kill me. And I think I submitted him in about 45 seconds, and I was just sitting there afterwards going, what the hell just happened? Because I hadn't really realized that we'd learned as much as we had at that point. Did you find that day was the same for you?
It was, yeah. It was, because I think that day it went from when you realize that in mixed martial arts, when you know something versus nothing, there's a big gap there. And, you know, I don't know, you know, I can't speak for the other women, but even if you're not going to do it for a martial arts, like an MMA aspect of it, being a female, it's awesome for self-defense and confidence. And, you know, and that brings a whole other addiction to it as well, knowing that, you know, I got this.
Yeah, I know the guy that I grappled with, I know when he moved on from me, he had a break, and then he grappled with Ashley. And, I mean, he was just so much bigger than her. It was crazy. And she grappled that guy into the ground. She didn't submit him, but I think he eventually tapped out from exhaustion because he just couldn't do anything with her. And then the reason I still wanted to tell the story, and Nikki probably knows where this one's going, Nikki got paired up with a guy who was a doorman that Peter knew, and he was also part of the Cubicles of the Cage program.
It was a little bit different for me because I didn't get to wrestle with everybody because Peter, I took it easy.
Ah.
I saved. Whether that
cool.
helped me or not, I'm not sure.
Right. Well, she got paired up with a guy who actually trained with us a little bit, but he just didn't have the time and interest to put into the program. But he had some skills. And, Peter paired up Nikki and this guy Mike, and they had, like, the most epic grappling match you could ever imagine. It went on for like probably 4 minutes nonstop. Nikki had him almost submitted three or four times, and then he eventually just couldn't take it anymore and tapped her with a wrist lock. And we were all like, oh, like, boo. Like, we don't do wrist locks. Like, what a bitch move. Yeah, it was just such a bitch move. We were so pissed off because she was just, like, just destroying this guy.
I was fairly mad as well, not going to lie.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah, and you had your nose busted again, as always.
Yeah, as always, eh? A little teenage goes a long way.
Now, coming into this, what's the one thing you found out about yourself that you didn't expect you would have found out coming into this show?
Oh. I don't know. It's hard to say. I think the biggest thing that I've just about myself is if, you know, when you think you think that you don't have enough time, you think that you're, you know, your life is packed and there's no way I can possibly do anything else, you're kidding yourself. There is so much more time that you can do things. You just have to be organized, and you just have to do it. And you'd be surprised how much stuff you can do and the amount of hours that you have.
Well, yeah.
Nikki, that's an awesome point. I had like a 57-year-old grandmother email me a couple of days ago and said, been watching your show, been seeing what you guys did. I know some of you guys are in your 40s. I'm quite overweight, and I keep having excuses for why I don't get to the gym or why I don't have time to eat healthy and things. And she said, I have completely changed my mind. I'm going to turn that around. If you guys could do that, then I have no excuses. And I was like, you know what? That's awesome.
That is awesome. That's awesome.
Once again, this is what we're watching with the Cubes, watching your guys and gals, your life change in different aspects. You know, things that you might not have, you know, cared about or gotten angry over changed. You know, getting in there with this team and growing with them and going through the stress and learning of this sport, it's going to affect you all in so many ways. You know, and I've got to say, seeing you with everything on your plate, the kids, the job, the husband, all that getting out there and obviously having a good attitude about it is impressive. I would like to know how your attitude and how you really felt about episode 4 when you ladies had to cut weight.
I learned that it is not how I want to cut weight.
I learned that
diet and strict diet is much better.
What was it like for you ladies in during the weight cut in the sauna, sweating out?
Oh, that was probably, it was A, my mother's 50th birthday, so I missed that. B, it was Easter weekend, so all kinds of turkey to be had, missed that, and chocolate. Did I mention chocolate? I enjoyed chocolate. But it was interesting. And when you're in there and you don't know how other people are going to react and how you're going to react to them. Because, you know, if one person all of a sudden is mentally and they break, they can take you with them in a heartbeat. Or you could go the other way and go, no way, man, I'm going to tough this out. I am tougher than you. I'm going to do it. So it's, you don't know what you're going to do until you're in there.
Were you the one that knocked the door off the hinges?
No, that was not me. That was either Mariviev or Ashley. One
so
of those two.
How
I do believe.
Difficult, how difficult was it for you to stay in there once you saw her break?
I took the I'm tougher than you and I'm going to do it approach.
Why does that not surprise you?
I went to my happy place. Shut up, Boyd. I went to my happy place, and I'm pretty sure I sang, I don't know now if you, I don't, people will say I don't know many songs, but the songs I know very well. And let me tell you, Baby Got Back got me through that whole thing. Because I'm pretty sure I just started singing, Oh, no, sorry, is I like big butts. Started singing that.
Okay, if I was in the sauna with the girls and you were singing that, I would have stayed. I wouldn't have escaped.
Well, hey, you know, I tried. I tried to entertain people at least.
Now, I got to ask you, Nikki, in the world of MMA, we cover a lot of women fighters, and they seem typically to bring it every time. They seem to have more impressive fights. They seem to sell fights. They just seem to really be a great aspect of the sport now. Did you ladies feel like you guys were where you should be or even surpassed where you should be, or did you guys as a whole feel like you were behind?
As in toward going toward a fight, where we should have been toward training for a fight? Absolutely not. Every day that you went in, and it was great, it was exciting, and you learned new things, and you're pumped about learning it, and you know, you did it together, and you did this new wicked, you know, arm bar or this new technique. Every time that you learn something, you have to realize that somebody else is learning how to do it the same way or even better. So, you know, you get pumped about these aspects of it, but then you're like, ah, am I learning it fast enough? I always felt like I I felt always behind the eight ball, always behind. And I'm not sure if everybody else felt that way, because I just felt that I always should be working harder.
Everyone except Morteza.
Well, that's Morteza.
For your training, what did you feel more comfortable with, the stand-up game or the ground game?
I liked the ground game, and then we also did on Sundays, there, Boyd and the calculator Steve, we were the ones that mostly, and Sonny, I think, when he came out, I also enjoyed the wrestling. Shocker, kind of relates to rugby, but... You know, the BJJ and the wrestling, that's the part that I liked. I felt, I don't know if I was more comfortable at it, but I enjoyed that aspect of it a little bit more.
I think an added challenge that that Nikki and the other girls had was Titans at that time didn't have any pro female fighters. So when they were learning the skills and trying to improve, and then it was time to sort of go up against the pros and sort of see where they fit. They didn't have any female fighters to do that with. So they had this kind of this big kind of a black cloud of uncertainty in front of them, where it's like, you know what, how good am I? I mean, we knew. The guys knew. I mean, I just had to step in front of Gavin Tucker and go, okay, last time Gavin took me down in 1 second, and today it took him 2 seconds. So maybe I've improved a little bit, whereas I don't think the girls really had that, and it's really too bad, and I really wish that we could have done something about that.
Hmm.
Well, that's the reality of the sport. It's not only is MMA young, but women's MMA is even younger, you know, as a mainstream, especially outside this country of the United States, in Asia and Europe, it's a little bit, it's been, I guess, more accepted for a little longer, but that's something women run across all the time, and it was something I found interesting about your show, because I truthfully felt, you know, some of the women would be dropping off a little faster, so the base for them to work with somebody in their actual physical range and talent level is going to diminish quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get to get in there, and go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
When you get to get in there and train with the guys, do you feel less competitive?
No.
Okay.
No. I always had I for some reason feel that they're a guy and I can't hurt them. So I try my damnedest to do it.
I like that answer.
Yeah, I've told you before.
I always have that meathead mentality.
I told you guys this a couple times before, that like pretty much to an individual, the women in the program were tougher and better trainers than the guys. And I think part of that was the fact that, like you said, that they came in, they were just chock full of attitude. I know I was sparring with I think it might have been shark baiting even, and Claire was one of the people, and she'd been away from training for a while, so she was all gung-ho to get back. And I got hit with this, like, wicked knee to the liver, so I took a knee. And when I'm taking a knee, which is generally a sign for somebody to back off for a second, she just comes up behind me and starts whacking me in the kidneys as hard as she possibly can. I'm, like, curled up on the floor, like, screaming and tapping. And I'm like, I'm taking a knee. And she's like, there's no knees in MMA, bitch. I was like, holy hell, these girls are crazy.
Now,
she's awesome.
Obviously, the fans of the show and the fans of the blog every week, we're getting to know you on a personal level, and we all like you. We think what you're doing is great. Now, in your private life at work, how are you being perceived with this show? Is everyone cool? A lot of people liking it, not liking it?
Oh, I think it's been all positive. Like, you know, all the physicians and the residents that come around, they're like, you know, let me know. I need to go. I need to order. I need to follow. My manager, when I first told her about it, because I felt, you know, in case something happened, I should probably let her know. And she was like, please don't get hurt. And I was like, well, I play rugby for like 10 years. She's like, ah, really? And then when I told my mom that I was doing this, my mom's like, can you play a sport that you can't die in? And then I'll come watch. But, like, you know, it's been you get the very positive, like, yeah, that's awesome. And then you get the, are you nuts? Are you crazy? Like, why do you want to do that? You're a woman. I'm like, well, yeah, but if they can do it, I can do it, I guess.
Very
true. So.
I like the attitude.
I don't know.
Going along the show, how's the husband been? Is he really digging the show and you doing this?
He does. He does. I think he had he was a little angry that he didn't make it, and I did, which is fair. But no, I don't think I could have done the show without my husband. You know, doing two-a-days, and, you know, he picks up for where I lack, we'll say. You know, he makes me breakfast, he packs me my lunches. Because, you know, when you leave at 5 o'clock in the morning and you don't get home till 8 o'clock at night, all you want to do is take a shower and go to bed. So, you know, he picks up where I kind of slack off a little bit, and I couldn't do it without him. So I gotta give him his props.
They, you know, we talk to male fighters all the time, and they, you know, they have family that's supportive. There should be no difference with you. And I actually think it's kind of cool. Maybe one day we'll talk to him and find out what he thinks. Because, you know, obviously he had the drive to want to try out as well. And he's watching you progress week by week. That, I mean, it's got to somewhat, you know, with the family being home every week, seeing, you know, mom on TV, that's got to just be a cool feeling for him. It would be for me, you know, if my wife was on a show like this.
Yeah, he watches it faithfully, and but on the same note, you know how many days I wanted to punch him when he was like, I didn't want to do something, and he's like, you made the show and I didn't. You get your ass out of bed. I'm like, oh, my God, you're killing me.
Dude, one of these
like
days,
the
you should just slap a triangle on him and be like, make me breakfast.
Well, he does that every once in a while. He tries to play, but he's fairly large, so I try, but I get out man strength.
Now, I'm not sure how old your kids are, but are they following you as well on TV?
Yep, the youngest one that I have is she's 13, and she's been following it. And it was funny the other day, because she's in a new school over here, and she was saying, because there were some of her chores that weren't done, and I'm still continuing to train, so I was saying how she was slacking on her chores, and she's like, but I had things to do. And I said, uh-huh. And I do this and this and this and this. And she's like, but you're Superwoman, and I'm working at being it. It's kind of it was humbling to see that, you know, for her to see, and I don't think it's, you know, there's the fact that I'm not here and I can't be to some of her things, but, you know, that the fact that it is on TV and that when you work hard at something, you can achieve things. So I think that's a great lesson to pass on.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm super excited to see how the show plays out, to see how, you know, whether how far you go or whether you make it all the way, whether you fight, whether you don't, as well as the other cubes. You know, this is what's so addicting about the show is, unlike a lot of the shows that have run in America or other countries, they're usually from a promoter or a production's point of view. They're trying to sell a story, you know, that's forced. And this is all you guys. It's all natural. I love it. I love the fact that we can see what you guys really think and how you guys are trying to progress as you know, fighters and train, you know, with Peter and the rest of the cubes. And before we wrap up with you tonight, I want you to know that we are very blessed you took the time to come out tonight. And if you have any thank yous or shout outs or anything you want to say, please take the time. It's yours.
Awesome. You know, as always, Draco Sports and Hemi House Productions, you know, making this what it is. It's phenomenal to be part of it. You know, Peter, for all the time and effort, and I'm sure hair pulling moments, because I'm sure he's lost a few or at least gained a few gray hairs up there from us. And, I also have been sponsored by Popeyes. You know, without them, supplements cost a lot. And they've really helped me out. You know, and Boyd for making this all, like, happen, just to be a part of it. And I'm sure, and Nova Physio, they kept us together, literally. you know, how many mornings did you have out there with Rob sitting there taped up and pinned up and almost ready for Halloween by the looks of how many pins we had in us.
Yeah, that's coming up, I think, in an episode or two. We're going to be able to talk about Robbie and Nova Physiotherapy and all those guys because, yeah, we spend an awful lot of time push-pull of pins and taped up and on with electrodes attached to us chatting early in the mornings before work. I tell you, we never would have made it to the program without that.
Oh, but I think and everybody, just, you know, and my husband, I think the list could go on.
Cyclone cycling.
Yeah, those guys. Still hang out with
guys. The guys over at Forza.
When you said Popeyes,
when will you be back on the pitch? Nikki, when will you be back on the pitch or will you?
Back on the pitch? Rugby's done for us this year. We're in our winter season now, and I helped my husband coach King's University, so their season is just wrapping up a little bit. So maybe next summer, depends on how things go. Maybe I'm addicted.
Oh, that's what we want to hear. Well, young lady,
I'm not telling.
We can't thank you enough. Oh, no.
Listen, I'm gonna tease something out here. I'm going to give you guys a little tidbit. I know Lepaki is constantly trying to get me to send him the rest of the show, but I'm going to tell you that Nikki plays a key role in a future weight cut that makes the previous weight cut episode seem like a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Dun, dun,
Boyd. Boyd, you can't be doing this stuff to me, buddy.
I told you. Dude, Cubicle to the Cage is like, seriously, it's my new video crack. I'm like, I'm at work watching it when I should be working. I'm like, my kids haven't eaten in 2 days because I'm watching this show constantly. I love it. I love it. You guys all kill it. And what's even better is when you got, you know, I don't know how many of the shows you've got to listen to, but each cube that comes on, you guys are exactly the same as the show. I love it. I mean, it's
Hold
so
on.
Real.
Nikki, what did you and have you talked to any of the other ladies after watching the episode and seeing what the guys were doing during their weight cut? Did you guys get a good laugh out of that or any kind of, like, inside conversation just among the women upon watching that?
Well, you know, Boyd running out like a – I would like to say like a woman, but really he can't because none of us really did that. We broke things. We didn't run out like a girl, so, you know. No, it – we thought someone was dying. We were like, what is going on in there? Because we were in the – because where the sauna was, it clearly was attached you know, through each locker room, and we were separated because it was, you know, co-ed in the sauna but not in the change room. But we thought someone was dying. We thought Peter went, like, snapped. No. No. It's, we thought some of them could have handled it better, we'll say.
I'm
just joking, boys. We love you.
We're going to, at the end of the season, when we do a whole recap, you definitely have to come back on.
I'd love to come back on. This is awesome.
Well, we thank you so much for your time tonight. I know you have not only a family, a job, and training, so we'll let you go because it's late where you're at compared to where we're at. It's still, I think the sun's still out over here. So I thank you, and I can't wait to continue to watch you on the show.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me.
Anytime you're
ready. Thank you, Nikki.
Thanks, Boyd.
See you soon.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Boyd, every week you line up a great guest. You know, I'm super, super excited to see her progression in the show. You know, we've got to talk about her and a few of the other cubes. I love it, man. And the teaser for 7, man, folks, each show gets better and more intriguing and more interesting.
Dude, you think the teaser for 7 is good? You should have seen the teaser for episode 12.
Oh, you got the package, did you? That's good.
Yeah, I got the package. I wanted to thank you, Boyd. I really appreciate you extending that courtesy to me. And like I told you earlier, I will not share with Skippy.
Good stuff. And you got the T-shirt too, right?
Of course.
Now, see, that's not funny. I'll cut somebody for a Cubicle for the Cage T-shirt. That is like that is one of the. I gotta buy one, dude. The new Cubicle for the Cage from Draco is just a clean, clean looking shirt, and it'd be really cool to get one because honestly, who wouldn't want to rep what you guys are doing?
I just got an email today. Those things are going to be printed, I think, next week and available on the Draco partner Bushido.ca website for order probably within a week or two.
That's sweet.
Now, you know what we should do? We should do a T-shirt swap. We should do like a Madhouse for Cubicle to the Cage T-shirt swap.
Done.
I think that can be arranged easily.
Done. I'm looking at 25 T-shirts on the shelf right now. What size do you
need? You just can't have too small.
Those too smalls, man. That's wrong, Rocky.
Too smalls are already spoken for. I've already given those away. So you're too smalls light.
Boyd, like always, you know, we love you coming on the show. We love the fact that not only MMAMadhouse.com, but Top News MMA both have your blog's up every week, RadX TV every Thursday night, Draco Impact Armor for all the love they show the cubes and helping with the show and what they show us at MMA Madhouse and fans and fighters. You know, the contest giveaway every Thursday night. Honestly, I can't believe this week a friend of ours won it. It was crazy to see that Lehi won it.
Tell me where the nickname Thunder Buddy comes from.
That's off of that Will Ferrell movie where he had the where
it's
his, like, he had the dad and the other guy had the brother, stepbrothers, or they called each other Thunder Buddies.
Thunder Buddies comes from Ted and Marky Mark Wahlberg and the Fuzzy Bear when he's a kid and his bear comes to life to help him through a thunderstorm.
Gotcha.
So Thunder Buddies is kind of like the guy you squeeze up next to when you're scared.
I don't have a guy like that, I got to say.
Apparently. You know, he's your Thunder Buddy.
Right? Peter is your Thunder Buddy. That's exactly
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, I tell you, if the shit was going down, there's nobody I'd rather be standing next to than Peter Martel, so he's probably a good guy to put in there.
Right? Like always, if you want to give any shout-outs, any information, I know you're on the road, so we're going to wrap it up on the hour mark tonight.
Sounds good. I want to thank Draco, obviously. I want to send out a new shout-out tonight to our distributor, CCI. Those guys, I met with them while I was here in Toronto. And, man, super, super exciting stuff coming down the pipe. We're in negotiations in Brazil, the UK, the US, Australia. There's going to be some exciting, exciting stuff coming up pretty soon for Cubicle to the Cage. I'm so stoked.
I can't wait to hear the news. You know, like I said, this show is going to be a worldwide phenomenon. It's the best MMA show out there. There's nothing that compares to this. I hate Tough. Anybody who listens to my regular show and follows us, we're not fans of Tough Enough at all. I think that the show is just played out. When you ask a fighter to come into the room and say the same thing 8 times so you get the correct cut, I think it's BS. You know, and that's what I like. We see these guys breaking. We see these guys happy. We see these guys crying. And we see the actual, not a retake.
Yeah, there was none of that in Cubicle to the Cage, I'll tell you. Most of the time, we didn't even know the cameras were there. Somebody actually said that to me today. One of the Cubes actually sent me a Facebook message today, and he's like, I watched the previous episode, and I had no idea that was filmed. It's like, yeah, well, you did get punched in the head a lot that day. And he's like, yeah, I guess.
Boy, like always, Thursday night, we'll be sitting there pumping the show on Twitter. Folks, Draco, Cubicle to the Cage, follow him, tweet at him for free here on the show. Follow him on their blogs. Go to RadX TV, watch them there. You know, this is something that's important for the sport. I think it's a great, great tool to help bring the blue-collar person into this sport and understand it. Boy, thank you so much for kicking it with us again this week.
Thanks so much, guys. Let's have Peter on next week. You saw that teaser for Episode 7, so I think Peter's definitely going to have to be the man you talk to next week.
Oh, LaFontaine,
yeah.
I'm excited. I'm so excited because he missed the first time with Peter, and I've been telling him he will get a kick out of Peter, won't he?
I think you will, and Peter will probably have an awful lot to say about Episode 7. Episode 7 is not a big training episode, but I tell you, man, it's pretty rough one on the gut. We were pretty nervous.
I'll tell you, it's going to be nice because we could only talk about a little last time, and now we can talk about so much more with them.
Thanks so much, guys.
Hey, have a
thank
good
you,
night, boys.
Have a great night.
Have a great week.
Everybody, we'd like to thank Draco Impact Armor and Jax Media for sponsoring this show every week. Folks, MMAMadhouse.com has all the information, all the links, any media requests, everything. You can find it under Featured Cubicle to the Cage on that tab. Everything from them is up there. If you want to watch it, contact them, read about it. We have all the previews each week, so you guys follow MMA Madhouse for that. Lapaki, another great show. Miss Nikki, was a pleasure to have you on, and we're going to bring you back on at the end of the season. We'll do a big show and have a bunch of the Cubes on. Lapaki, great day. I'm wrapping it up, brother, so let's do a big Eagle.
I do Ospreys, bro.
Eagle!
Ospreys.